Very good. Getting to know our true identity. What's the use of getting to know your true identity? Why should one get to know his true identity?
To get eternal bliss.
To get eternal bliss? Okay. Maybe others can also answer. Yes. What does everybody want? Can you tell me? I thought everybody wants money. Okay, we can take it from there. Why does everybody want money? Yes?
To derive pleasure.
To derive pleasure. People think that if they have money, then they can derive pleasure out of it. But can money buy happiness? If that was the case, then the rich people in the world would have been the happy people. The rich nations would have been the happy nations. But, you know, per capita income wise, which is the richest nation?
Switzerland.
I think one of the richest nations, per capita wise, probably, actually I don't know exactly now, but it used to be Sweden. Sweden, per capita income was the highest. One reason probably, of course, the population is very little. But it was, per capita wise, it was the richest nation. And you know which country has the highest suicide rate? Sweden. So if money could buy happiness, the Swedish people would have been the happiest people. But does happy people commit suicide? Do people commit suicide because of their happiness? Why do people commit suicide? Because of their distress. Because of suffering. So in this way we can see that similarly with America also, the suicide rate is very high. Divorce rate is very high. On the other hand, you go to, and you know where they consider the people are most happy? In which country? According to the statistics? Who knows? That's right. Bangladesh. But materially, that's a very poor country. It doesn't have any industry, you know, doesn't have any natural source of, you know, natural resources, doesn't have mines, doesn't have oil, practically has nothing. That is, of course, Bangladesh is a small country. And in a way, we can say India, because in India, generally, they take the statistics in the cities. If they go to the villages, what they'll find? People have so little, but they're so happy. In the villages, can you measure happiness by some action? What action indicates happiness?
Mind.
But what action? What action indicates happiness? Yeah, okay. Two things indicate a person's happiness. The ability to sleep and ability to eat. Appetite and sleep. Now you go to the villages, you can see at night you try to wake up a villager. They sleep like Kumbhakarna. You start beating a drum, they would wake up. And when they sit down to eat, they can eat a mound of food. So appetite and sleep. These are the two indications. Now, you go to the big cities and come see the rich people, their condition. What will you notice firstly? They can't sleep at night. Although they have so much money, they can't sleep at night. That's why they have to take drugs. That's why they have to drink alcohol. And alcohol doesn't work. So they have to take drugs. And drug leads to addiction. And you'll notice one thing, that you know, most of them are suffering from diabetes. Diabetes means you can't eat. They don't have appetite, they can't eat. And even if they eat, they eat with a lot of anxiety, whether the blood sugar will go up. So the happiness is the goal, and this proves that happiness cannot be bought with money. It's an illusory concept to think that I will be happy when I'll have money. And what actually happens? The game of making money? The game of making money is such a complex thing that once you get entangled in it, you become extremely miserable. You get caught up in a very complex situation. Because the moment you start making money, there's an income tax. The first thing is, you know, like, generally people make money out of business. And business means investment. Right? Especially in today's world. You have to invest every time. Business means investment. And when you invest, then you are in anxiety whether the return will come. Say you invest 50 lakhs, then what is your immediate consideration? Will my 50 lakhs come back? Forget about the profit. Your anxiety is whether this 50 lakhs will come back. And then to get the 50 lakhs, you just get caught up. You can't leave the game. If you leave the game prematurely, you lose all your money. So once you get into it, you're stuck. So this is how this money game is Maya's arrangement. And now you may say, well, I won't get into business, but I will have a job. Then what happens? No matter how much they pay, it will never be enough. Like, you will see people drawing big salaries, 4 lakhs, 5 lakhs. Now the first thing is, when you earn 5 lakhs, you don't earn 5 lakhs. You actually earn 3 lakhs. Because, you know, 2 lakhs will go into tax. The government will take away 2 lakhs. See, you are working so hard to make the money, and the government is taking the money away from you. And then when you are getting 5 lakhs, you can rest assured the person who is employing you and paying you 5 lakhs, he is going to make 50 lakhs out of you. He'll make it a point that, because he's not doing charity, that he's giving you 5 lakhs. He's giving you 5 lakhs in order to make at least 25 lakhs. Right? And they'll make you work. And now you're caught up, you know. You have your lifestyle. You can't quit the job. And that's why you'll find they're working 10 hours, 12 hours a day. And they're so much in anxiety. So, anyway, the point is, I'm not discouraging you all to pursue your career or even run a business. Though you can do that if you want to. But what I am actually trying to point out, that the goal of life should not be that. Because if you make that to be your goal of life, you are running into a big problem. On the other hand, Like just consider a little boy going to school. He's not very rich actually. He's not from a rich family. But does he have any anxiety? When he, even now, you all, when you're a student, you all don't have much anxiety actually. Just wait, you finish your studies and take up your career. When you have to stand on your own feet, you will see. You will lament, oh, how nice it was those days when we were in college. We didn't have any anxiety. Why, when you are young, you don't have anxiety? Why don't you have anxiety? Because somebody is taking care of you. Your parents are taking care of you. Right? And you are depending upon them. Especially when you are young, the parents are, you don't have any anxiety. You don't have to worry about, you know, where the money is going to come from. Maybe the father is struggling. Maybe the father is struggling to make both ends meet. Maybe father doesn't have any money, you know, to buy the vegetables from the market. But when you sit in the dinner table, you know, your food is there. Your father is actually making all the arrangements for you. That's why you don't have any anxiety. I'm talking about, you know, like a child who is just depending upon his father. Even though he may not be poor, may not be rich, but he doesn't have any anxiety because he knows the father is there and he'll take care of him. He doesn't have to worry about the food. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, paying taxes, paying rent, paying different bills. Father is taking care. The trouble actually starts when we have to take care of ourselves. That's where people get into anxiety. They think, unless I have a lot of money, I survive. I won't be able to live properly. Now, it proves one thing, that happiness is synonymous or directly proportionate to the freedom from anxiety. More free you are from anxiety, more happy you are. Isn't it? More content you are. Now, anxiety is caused by our inability to cope with our needs. Isn't it what causes anxiety? Like I need, say, 20,000 rupees to maintain my family. Now, if I don't have 20,000 rupees every month, I won't be able to maintain my family. So that is what is causing me anxiety. Now, if there is somebody who comes and tells me, look, you don't have to worry about anything. I will take care of your family, I'll take care of all your expenses, I'll take care of you in all respect. Then how will you feel? Huh? If somebody comes and tells you, you don't have to worry about anything. How will you feel? Now, there is somebody who is making that offer to you. You don't worry, I will take care of you. Who is that person?
Krishna.
He is giving us the assurance. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. And not only that, his assurance, I will take care of you. He is already taking care of you. And without intelligence, we must assess that. Is Krishna taking care of us or how Krishna is taking care of us? Now consider, like our needs. We need food. Where is the food coming from? Let us just consider, what is our food? Food is gehu, grains. Our food is vegetables. Our food is fruits. Our food is nuts. Our food is milk, right? Now see how there these food are growing. Like one little seed falls on the ground, develops into a tree, and there are so many fruits in it. And inside the fruit there are seeds. That seed falls on the ground, another tree comes up. In that tree there are so many fruits. In those fruits there are so many seeds. In those seeds there are so many trees. And in those trees there are so many fruits. Now tell me, who made this arrangement? I mean, isn't this an amazing arrangement? Can anybody make such arrangement? Will the biggest scientist in this world be able to produce a seed in his laboratory that will generate, you know, a tree, and in that tree there will be so many fruits, and in the fruits there will be so many seeds? So this is how Krishna is taking care of us. We are breathing oxygen and giving out. Can you breathe carbon dioxide? So we are breathing out carbon dioxide, pumping out carbon dioxide, taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. The whole atmosphere should have been filled up with carbon dioxide. Did it ever happen? Why not? Because the trees and plants are taking carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. Who made this arrangement? Right, an unending supply of oxygen for us and carbon dioxide for the trees. It's continuously going. We are giving carbon dioxide, trees are saying, thank you very much. And they're giving out oxygen. And we say, thank you very much. So this is how Krishna actually made all these arrangements for us. So what to speak of taking care of us? Krishna is already taking care of us in so many wonderful ways. Now if we realize that Krishna is taking care of us in such a wonderful way, then what should we naturally do? We should express our gratitude to Him. Thank you so much, Krishna. And then we say, well, why should I worry? He is there. My father was taking care of me when I was young, but when I grew up, my father couldn't take care of me. But now that I have grown up, Krishna is taking care of me. My father is not able to do that, but Krishna is taking care. So why should I have any anxiety? When I know that Krishna is going to take care of me, let me offer all our anxiety to Krishna. So that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness, which begins with satyendra. Krishna, you are taking care of me, so why should I worry? I leave all my responsibilities to you. You take care of me. You worry. I don't have any more worry about myself. Since you are there, I don't have any worry, because I know you are worrying about me. You are arranging everything for me. So that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, you do your bit also. Say for example, you have your exams. That shouldn't mean that you stop studying and say, Krishna, you take care of my exams. That won't work. Like for example, when you are growing food grains, it just doesn't grow by itself. You have to till the land. You have to till the land, you have to plant the seeds, then you have to water the plants, and then the harvest will come. And when the harvest is ripe, then also you have to harvest it. You have to collect it. So these efforts from our side is necessary. Krishna will take care of us. Krishna is taking care of us. But at the same time, we also have to do something to show our sincerity. Right? Like on what it actually means is, you try your best in your studies. You study very nicely. Don't neglect your studies. But what the result will be, you try your best. When you sit in the exams, prepare yourself. Write the answers in the best possible way. And if the result is good, you thank Krishna. And if the result is bad, you blame yourself. That I didn't work hard enough. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. And I can assure you, Krishna will take care. Sometimes some difficulties may be there, but that's Krishna's arrangement to make you even more attached to Him. Okay. So now, if you have any question, you can ask. पूरे भारत में या कृष्ण भगवान लीला विलास करते हैं. लीला का मतलब इस धरती में आकर ऐसे कुछ कार्य करते हैं. लेट मी स्पीक इन इंग्लिश, इज बीइंग ब्रॉडकास्ट. ओके ओके, सो देन आई कैन स्पीक इन हिंदी. सो क्यों लीला विलास करते हैं, मतलब ऐसे कार्य करते हैं हमें कुछ शिक्षा देने के लिए कुछ करते हैं. और कैसे शिक्षा, भगवान साधुओं को परित्राण करते हैं, रक्षा करते हैं, और जो दुष्ट हैं उनको विनाश करते हैं. परित्राण है साधु नाम विनाश आय से दुष्कृत धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय संभवामी युगे युगे. तो इस कारण कृष्ण ने कलि युग में भक्त के रूप में आए हैं. कृष्ण नहीं आए हैं, कृष्ण के रूप में नहीं आए हैं, जो वृंदावन में लीला करते हैं, जो ब्रजवासियों के साथ लीला विलास करते हैं, उस रूप से नहीं आए हैं. आए हैं एक भक्त के रूप में. भक्त के रूप में आकर शिक्षा दे रहे हैं कैसे हमें कृष्ण भक्ति करना चाहिए. भगवान हमें सिखा, खुद आकर शिक्षा दे रहे हैं कैसे भक्त बनना चाहिए. तो इसलिए भगवान प्रचार करने के लिए, भगवान का वाणी का प्रचार करने के लिए सारा भारत भ्रमण किए थे और ऐसे लीला विलास किए थे. चैतन्य महाप्रभु कृष्ण भगवान है, बल्कि भक्त के रूप में, भक्तावतारम. हाँ जरूर, बल्कि द्वारका में कृष्ण ऐश्वर्य लीला विलास कर रहे हैं और वृंदावन में मधुर लीला विलास कर रहे हैं. ये अंतर है. द्वारका में कृष्ण राजकुमार है, वृंदावन में कृष्ण ग्वाल बाल है. तो अब बताओ किसके पास जाना सहज है, ग्वाल बाल के पास या राजकुमार के पास? इसलिए वृंदावन लीला का महिमा अधिक है. भगवान हमें वहां उनके बहुत ही नजदीक आने का अवसर दिए हैं. यस
कृष्ण हैज सो मेनी फॉर्म एज व्हेन ही वाज चाइल्ड ड्रिंकिंग मिल्क फ्रॉम ब्रेस्ट ऑफ and then he grown up and Lula's Lila with Gopis and then he went to Mathura and then finally to Dwarka. So which form is Krishna's eternal?
Which form of Krishna is?
Eternal.
All are eternal.
Original form of Bhagavan.
Yeah. Yeah. All the forms are eternal, but the original form is Krishna in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, Krishna has three aspects. One is childhood, then Pauganda, you can say, you can put it in this way, babyhood, childhood, and youth. So these are the three aspects of Krishna's personality in Vrindavan. All are eternal.
This form is source of all these forms.
Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj. And of these, Krishna's eternal form, as you suggested, is Navajovanancha, eternally youthful form. Navajovan, just blooming youth. Just around 15, going on to 16. And that is Krishna's youth, eternal youthful form. Okay? Because after that Krishna doesn't, in a way, you can say, after that age, Krishna doesn't grow. He reaches up to 15 and he stays 15. Like, when you see Krishna's picture with Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra, how old does he look? How old does he look?
Like a master in setting.
No, how old is he? No, that form is just 15, 16. But you know how old Krishna was at that time? 120 years old. So this is it. Krishna's form, this is how his form is eternal. Eternally youthful. Adyam Purana Purusham Navajovanancha. His original Supreme Personality, the oldest of all. Right? He is the oldest. But his form is youthful. God never becomes old. He always remains youthful. You see, the original Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj. That means Krishna of Vrindavan. His first expansion is Balaram. Krishna expands, right? That expansion is Balaram in Vrindavan. Then the next expansion is Vasudev. That is Krishna of Mathura, the son of Vasudev. Krishna of Vrindavan is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna of Mathura is the son of Vasudev. Right? Vasudev and Devaki. Right? So this Vasudev Krishna, after Mathura, he shifted his capital to Dwarka. So this is the same person. I mean, that is the Vasudev Krishna. Krishna, original Adi Purusham, Krishna, expands himself into Vasudev. Now, along with Krishna, his associates also expand. Like Krishna expanded as Vasudev, Balaram expanded as Shankarshan. Right? Radharani expanded as Satyabhama. Chandravali expanded as Rukmini. This Radharani, Satyabhama is the queen in Dwarka, right? Radharani from Vrindavan, as Krishna becomes Vasudev, Radharani becomes Satyabhama. And, becomes a queen of Krishna. In Vrindavan there are 16,000 gopis, right? And in Dwarka Krishna has 16,000 wives. So all these gopis expanded into the 16,000 wives.
Huh?
ये भगवान का लीला है, क्योंकि देखो केवल 16,000 ही नहीं, करोड़ों गोपियां हैं भगवान के नित्य संगिनी के रूप में। इसमें से ये 16,000 का ऐसे गिनती किया गया है क्योंकि देखो जो भगवान है उनके साथ तो सब कोई संपर्क है। तुम गिन सकते हो किसके से कितने संपर्क, कितने आदमी के साथ, कितने व्यक्ति के साथ भगवान का संपर्क, बल्कि सबसे गहरा जो संपर्क है उनमें से ये 16,000 भगवान तुम्हारा दिल में है, मतलब तुम्हारे साथ भगवान का संपर्क है ना, नहीं तो भगवान क्यों तुम्हारे साथ रहेंगे। तो ये जो संपर्क जो है, ये संपर्क जब गहरा हो जाता है, जैसे हमारा स्थिति कैसी है, हमारा स्थिति है कि यद्यपि भगवान के साथ हमारा संपर्क है, बल्कि हम भूल गए, इसलिए हमें ये भक्ति का अनुशीलन होना है, प्रैक्टिस होना है। ये भक्ति के अनुशीलन के माध्यम भगवान के साथ जो संपर्क है, वो संपर्क का विकास होना है। और जब ऐसे हम शुद्ध भक्त बन जाएंगे, तब ये संपर्क नित्य बन जाएगा, तब हमें पता चलेगा ये संपर्क भगवान के साथ है, और ऐसे हम भगवान को सेवा कर सकते हैं। ऐसे वृंदावन लीला में ऐसी एक भावना है कि राधा रानी का शादी और किसी के साथ हुआ था, बल्कि ये जो है ये ऐसे लगता है, बल्कि ये संपर्क नहीं था। वृंदावन में जो प्यार का इसका कारण भी ये ऐसी है कि देखो प्यार सबसे गहरा होता है जब उस प्यार में रुकावट आती है ना। लड़की को माँ बोल रहे हैं घर से मत जा निकलो, बल्कि वो लड़की का अपॉइंटमेंट हो चुका है, तो क्या करते हैं तो ये जो घर से जो निकल नहीं सकते हैं, इसलिए उसका प्यार और गहरा हो जाता है, और किसी किसी बहाना से सोचते हैं कि चलो हम उनके साथ मिलना ही होगा। तो ऐसे ही वृंदावन में जो भगवान के साथ जो राधा रानी का या गोपिया का जो प्यार का संपर्क है, इस संपर्क में ऐसी भावना लाने के लिए, मतलब इस प्यार को और गहरा और गंभीर करने के लिए, और इंटेंसिफाई करने के लिए ऐसे रुकावट ऐसे आती है। जैसे देखो मन में भावना होता है मेरा शादी हो गया है और दूसरे के बारे में मेरा सोचना नहीं चाहिए, बल्कि कृष्ण के बारे में सोचे बिना मैं नहीं रह सकता। तो यह कैसा होता है कि भावना प्यार और गहरा, और देखो असल में ये जो है भगवान का लीला है, भक्तों के साथ भगवान प्यार का संपर्क स्थापन करके और प्यार का जो विनिमय होता है उसकी माध्यम भगवान आनंद आश्वादन करते हैं और भक्तों को आनंद व्यक्त करते हैं। ये रामचंद्र और कृष्णचंद्र में अंतर है, कृष्ण है लीला पुरुषोत्तम, रामचंद्र है मर्यादा पुरुषोत्तम। उन्होंने मर्यादा धर्म की मर्यादा स्थापित कर ली, इसलिए उन्होंने ऐसे आचरण कर रहे हैं कि जो एकदम परफेक्ट, बल्कि कृष्ण ने लीला वह कौन क्या सोचेंगे उसके बारे में भगवान ही सोच रहे हैं। भगवान का केवल भावना ये है कि मेरा भक्तों के साथ ये प्यार का संपर्क हम कैसे। कलयुग में हमारा संपर्क चैतन्य महाप्रभु के साथ है। कृष्ण लीला, भगवान लीला विलास कर रहे हैं वो उनके लिए है, और हम भगवान के महिमा कीर्तन करेंगे। भगवान क्यों ऐसे लीला कर रहे हैं, भगवान का लीला कितना महान है, इस बारे में हम दूसरे को सुनाएंगे। ये है महाप्रभु के अनुगामी बनने का तरीका। हम सबको कृष्ण के बारे में सुनाएंगे, कृष्ण के बारे में समझाएंगे, कृष्ण के नजदीक आने मार्ग aspects, mind, intelligence, false ego aspect, they are symbolizing them. They always remain the embodiment of those aspects. Like mind will be attracted. Now who is attracted? Pradyumna. False ego aspect, who is embodiment? But ultimately, what is the purpose of all that? Mind, intelligence. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary course, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the advanced course. You can say where Bhagavad Gita ends. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling that he is God. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's devotees are telling he is God. Like for example, you are telling about yourself, and those who are telling about you. Now there is a difference between those two descriptions, those who love you. Like when you speak about yourself, how much can you speak about yourself? But those who love you, when they speak about yourself, what happens? Their description is more elaborate. Therefore, Bhagavatam is more elaborate description of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is reminding us that we are spirit soul and he is God. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's devotees are saying Krishna is the most wonderful personality. Right? Yes? Chandravali. 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 Mahalakshmi. No, Rukmini is the origin of Mahalakshmi. Rukmini is the Mahalakshmi. See, Krishna expands his Vasudeva and Chandravali becomes. Now this Rukmini is the Mahalakshmi. Then Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna expands as Narayana. Then Rukmini expands as happy to meet you all, and I look forward to seeing you all again. And I wish you that you all have a very nice day, very nice visit of Vrindavan now. Take full advantage of Vrindavan now. Hare Krishna.